AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. A special counsel is taking over two Justice Department probes of former President Trump. CBS's Catherine Herridge on what this means.
Special counsel is brought in by the Justice Department when they feel the standard handling of a criminal investigation might have the perception of a conflict of interest. I've spoken with two former attorneys for former President Trump. They believe it's an indicator that the department may have sufficient evidence to bring criminal charges.
The former president isn't happy about it and spoke from Mar-a-Lago last night. He said it wouldn't be a fair investigation and called it rigged. The founder and CEO of failed blood testing company Theranos has been sentenced to 11 years in federal prison. Our Major Garrett with details.
Elizabeth Holmes was convicted of fraud and conspiracy earlier this year for misleading investors and endangering patients with a bogus blood testing technology. Holmes, now 38 and expecting her second child, had requested home confinement.
The snow is not letting up in Buffalo. Over 5 feet so far. WIVB-TV's Tara Lynch.
There's clouds pretty much every hour and still very slushy, very slick. We've had driving bans. A lot of the major highways are closed. Just kind of a stay-at-home situation.
Georgia's runoff election set for December 6, but early voting will begin a week from today.
Fulton County Superior Court Judge Thomas Cox rules Georgia code barring Saturday voting 2 days after a holiday does not specifically apply to runoffs. Uzoma and Quanta argued for Georgia Democrats. The state's top election official had made a last-minute about-face.
Up until last week, the general understanding among Georgia voters and county boards of elections, including the secretary even, was that the law does permit voting on the Saturday.
Veronica Waters for CBS News, Atlanta.
Will two major airlines partner up? Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Closing arguments have been held in a federal court in the government's lawsuit to break up a partnership between American Airlines and JetBlue. It would allow the airlines to coordinate schedules and share revenue on many routes to and from New York and Boston. The government says that will reduce competition and cost consumers hundreds of millions of dollars a year in higher fares.
It seems like everyone is getting sick with something right now. Here's CBS's Mara Rubin.
27 states have high levels of flu, which is unusually early in the season. This is happening when children's hospitals are dealing with a surge in RSV. And there are 3,000 hospital admissions each day for COVID-19.
And the term viral jambalaya is being used to describe the sickness. The not-so-delicious word is apparently this week's triple-demic. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit LibertyMutual.com to learn more.
Okay, smile naturally. Perfect.
Camp's photography knows wedding season ramps up in a flash. They need to say I do to a studio assistant before clients go full bridezilla.
I'm so sorry, I have to get a different lens. I'll be right back.
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy's been suffering from toe fungus for years.
I tried every drugstore product, prescriptions from my doctor, nothing worked.
And then he discovered Crystal Flush.
After just a few weeks, my fungus was gone.
The secret, its non-prescription serum contains the maximum strength FDA-approved ingredient, and the unique capsule helps balance the body's natural defense to fungus.
This has changed everything.
Crystal Flush is not available in stores, but for a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Visit crystalflush.com now. That's CrystalFlush.com. Or call 800-304-2925.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 20, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, a few flurries possible at times, lows dip down to about 4 above. Highs around 28, tomorrow mainly sunny skies. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 18.
WFHR Weather is sponsored by Hartle Monuments, still at 1915 Baker Drive, Wisconsin Rapids. The monument you create will be remembered by family and friends for years to come. Hartle Monuments will make it special. Let our experience show. Hartle Monuments, since 1901.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, high-tech camo wear at a price you can afford. HuntworthGear.com. And by Ducks Unlimited, the world's leader in wetlands conservation. Now a proud sponsor of Outdoors Radio and always a supporter of duck hunters everywhere. Ducks.org. I'm Dan Small. This is the opening weekend of Wisconsin's gun deer season, so we've got a few deer stories for you. Today, Minnesota-based outdoor writer Joe Shedd talks about his new book, Bucktails, Stories from the Deer Stand. My partner Jeff Kelm tells us about his successful bow hunt. And guest host Rob Dreeslein talks waterfowl hunting with David Schuessler of Ducks Unlimited. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. And Michael Hupe, who is the president of Milwaukee Crime Stoppers, has announced that he will pay a $25,000 reward for the next anonymous tip that solves a homicide case. So if you've got a tip on an unsolved homicide case, visit MilwaukeeCrimeStoppers.com. Well, this is opening weekend, as I mentioned earlier, of our gun deer season. I'm up at deer camp in Bayfield County with my son John, friends Ozzy Oswald and Dave Roll, who's also our videographer for Deer Hunt Wisconsin, and a couple of John's friends. And joining me from deer camp in Douglas County, Jeff Kelm. Well, Jeff, you are hunting up north of gun deer season for the first time.
Yeah, not too far away from Superior, and not very far away at all from Lake Superior. It's pretty neat to be in the North Woods for deer camp. You know, obviously I miss the close-knit family time that we had at the farm over the course of my entire hunting career, but this is a new adventure and a new opportunity. The guys that I'm with, they lost their father last winter. And so for them, this is new as well, a new property, a new deer camp for them too. So this is a kind of a new tradition here, Dan.
Well, that's good. And your son, Robert, is with you, I understand. He's already notched one deer to his credit.
Yep, he's got one antlerless deer, and he has tags to go through. He has an antlerless tag that's good for this area, being that he's got a youth tag, and he's also got his buck tag. And this is the first regular gun deer season that he's going to actually be able to pull the trigger. That we've got the practice time in, we've got the experience down, we've got everything set for him, and it's going to be fun to see if he can pull it off.
Well, and you get to experience, as he does, a North Woods typical winter opening weekend. This is kind of what I'm used to from many years of hunting up in Bayfield County, within sight of Lake Superior, depending on where you stand on the property. And, gosh, snow on the ground, that's a good thing, but northwest wind, that's typical, and temps in single digits. So I hope you guys stay warm.
Yeah, that's a good, you know, that's the challenge, Dan, especially with kids. You know, the gear for adults gets better and better, and the gear for kids has gotten better, but hasn't quite kept the same pace. So we got all of our hand warmers, we got our heater, we got all that set. We just cross our fingers we'll be able to kind of stay out of the wind enough to keep them warm.
Yeah, I hope so. And of course, you and I have that heat boost technology in our bibs. I'm wearing those, which are much warmer than anything else I've worn before in a single layer garment. So I'm hoping that'll keep me warm for the coldest of the weather that we're going to be facing here.
For sure. For sure.
Well, we have some other deer-related things to talk about. We will come back in a few minutes and hear about your successful bow hunt from a week or so ago. And we're going to talk with Joe Shedd, who also is a big deer hunter, and he hunts Douglas County and I think Bayfield County as well. And he's going to share some stories from his new deer hunting book called Buck Tales. And we'll have the first of four guest interviews by Rob Dreeslein. He's the host of Minnesota Outdoor News, that radio show and podcast. And he's going to talk about, he's going to talk with a guy from Ducks Unlimited. And folks, if you're interested in Deer Hunt Wisconsin, the TV show, it's archived on our YouTube channel. So we'll be back after this break with Jeff's recent bow hunt.
You wait quietly, but you're getting impatient. It's been 2 hours and still nothing. You hear it. It's close. You see movement, but you sit tight because safe hunting is no accident. With all different hunting seasons open, your fellow hunters could be in a stand, on the ground, or in a blind. Do not shoot at movement. Be aware of what's in front of your target and what is beyond it. Wisconsin DNR, adventures and memories. Enjoy Wisconsin's wild side.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Escanaba, and Houghton. We at Remy Battery Company want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the past 90 plus years and your continued support of our local family-owned company. Stop in and see the expertise of over 9 decades of battery knowledge and customer service. Let us take care of the batteries for all of your needs, from power tools to sump pumps and ATVs to hunting decoys, even down to the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or waters. Don't forget to ask your sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com. Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small, and as we mentioned in our opening remarks, Jeff has a very interesting story about a bow hunt that he did recently. So Jeff, tell us how that went down, starting with how you found that property and the excitement you had before this deer that you shot came along.
Yeah, Dan, this has been a unique year for me. As we've mentioned many times before, we don't have access to the Kelm family farm anymore. We unfortunately had to sell that earlier in the year, So I have really been doing a lot of public land scouting and using Onyx Maps, which is an app that you can get onto your phone. utilizing Google Maps, which, you know, most people have for, you know, finding their way around, you know, different places around the world. And I've also been utilizing county GIS maps, which are available in most counties here in the state of Wisconsin, especially. And I've been using them both in Washira County and Wood County. And, you know, what I was really trying to concentrate on over the course of time is not only finding where deer may have some travel corridors and things, but where they have the necessary things to survive, especially when the pressure turns on. So when you start getting people into the woods, deer still need to eat, but they also really, really concentrate on cover, and it's got to be the right type of cover. Well, you can find all kinds of cover, like your swamp edges and your marshes and things like that. Deer love going to those places, especially when you've got them pressured. But those are really hard places to hunt because if you're on the ground, you oftentimes can't see over the brush and trees or you know, grasses, things of that nature. And there's often not many trees that you can hang even a saddle setup where you're up high enough to be able to see. And so it took me a long time, Dan, to really find kind of the sweet spot of where everything was going to be. And I had planned to hunt this one particular property over the course of a few days. I went and scouted it and had all these plans. This is where I'm going to go tomorrow morning. And like 8:30 the night before, I'm still just kind of scrolling through my phone, looking on Onyx, and I was like, I got this pin here for this other piece of property that I just have this feeling about. And we were right in front of that that big cold front that came through last week, Friday.
Yep.
And I was like, I just have a hunch. And so blindly, I made the plan to get up in the morning and walk into this property that I've never been to before, not having any idea of really what I was going to see, but using the GIS map, which at the time was the clearest map I could to see how thick the trees were, I could see that it looks like I could get into some trees over in this section, and I just had to get there, and I didn't know what that was going to look like. So after walking through, falling in a spring hole, kind of getting lost in the woods, I found myself in a tree shortly before 6 o'clock in the morning. Shooting time was at, I think, 6:25 that morning.
Oh, you had time. You were there early.
Yeah. I had a little bit of time, yeah. And so I got myself in a tree, got myself set up, quieted down. And a few minutes after legal shooting time, I had a doe come just raging on past me. But she came within like 7 yards. And I was like, well, hey, if there's ever going to be a day that a doe is going to come past you, this is a great day, cold front in the middle of the rut. I will take that.
Yeah.
And so she moved on. I didn't have a tag to shoot her anyways. And so it was about 20 minutes or so after she came through, I hear a deer grunt. I hear some footsteps. And just as fast as she came in, here comes this buck. And it's a little four-corn buck. And he comes right underneath my stand, to the point where I couldn't even get the crossbow on him because he was just straight up and down vertical underneath me. and he came in and he finally did give me a little bit of a window to shoot, probably about 15 yards away. And I was just getting the crossbow settled and I heard more walking. And I thought, well, I've been in this position before, could be a bigger buck. So I'm going to pause on shooting this deer and see what it is. And as soon as I had heard and thought that process, here this coyote comes from right underneath my stand and is chasing this four-corn buck.
Oh, boy.
This four-corn buck is concentrated on that doe. He's grunting, and he takes off. He's still grunting as this coyote is chasing him.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that is the craziest thing. I've never seen a coyote chase a full-grown deer. And it was just an interesting, you know, set of circumstances. And I thought to myself, Dan, this was great. I don't need to experience anything more. If there was deer here, I felt good about it. We hadn't even hit 8 o'clock in the morning yet.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes after that, after things settled down, just before 8 o'clock, I hear more walking. But this was a lot slower walking coming from the same direction that four-corn buck had come. And I look up in that direction, and here is a nice buck coming at me. Cool. And I couldn't count the points or anything like that. It comes slide down into right to where that other buck went. He stopped, looked at me, pulled the trigger. He jumped and ran off, and I could see blood coming out of him. And he ran off to about 70 yards or so, and I kind of lost track of him and just caught him briefly walking through some of the poplars, and off he went. And I thought, all right, I got him. It was 12 yards, no problem. That is where things went a little weird.
Okay.
Got down out of the stand, looked for blood, saw blood, but also saw contents of a paunch. Hmm. You know, I was back a little further than I wanted to. And so I knew this was going to be a much longer day than it was to just drag that deer out of there. Got myself out, and as I was walking out, I noticed that the blood trail crossed the path in which I needed to walk.
Oh.
I got a little nervous about that because I didn't want to spook this deer if he had just laid down nearby.
Yeah.
But this was now about an hour's worth of process before I had seen that blood trail as I walked out. Made plans to come back that night at 10 o'clock with a friend of mine. And I had to wait that late because a friend of mine had a dog that is lightly trained, is a young dog, lightly trained for blood tracking or for tracking deer. And he had other things going on. And so 10 o'clock at night, we show up and we start tracking this deer with this dog. And this dog is manic. I mean, he is on this track. And the deer is really bleeding well, Dan. I was really surprised how much he was bleeding. And we went 0.9 miles.
Okay, wow.
Following this blood trail.
Yeah.
And we went everywhere you can think of, back and forth, and crossed the road about 100 yards behind the truck, and ended up being 60 yards into the road, into the woods. We drove right past him.
Oh, no.
When we drove in to go track him. So yeah. We went almost a mile for a 60-yard drag.
That happens.
But we did find the deer. We did find the deer.
Fantastic. And the dog, now, to do this legally, the dog has to be on a leash. You can't carry a gun or a bow to go into the woods.
Correct.
You did that right in the dog found the deer. That's remarkable. Do you think you could have found that deer without the dog?
Dude, maybe I could have found the deer, maybe, but I certainly, it would have taken me, it took us an hour to travel that far.
Yeah.
It would have taken probably at least three to find that deer without the dog, because there were places where blood disappeared. He went through some water patches where we would have had to wander the outside to figure out which way he went. And the dog had it right on track, and it was fun to watch the dog work. I mean, it's really cool to watch those blood tracking dogs work.
Yep. And for folks who might encounter that same kind of situation, I think it's unitedbloodtrackers.com, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe so. And they've got a dog tracking network, Wisconsin Dog Tracking Network on Facebook. You can get on there. And they're working hard over the course of the month of November to help everybody out. They know that's the busiest time. And if you're in doubt, back out, call a dog. I don't believe anybody charges for the for the service. You're able to, if you want to tip them or something like that, that's up to you. They're out there to watch their dog work. This is what their dogs love doing. And it was so much fun. This poodle pointer absolutely nailed it. And I owe Axel the biggest bone I can find as soon as I can find one.
Yeah, well, the hindquarter might go a long ways there too.
Yeah, but, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I just checked. It's unitedbloodtrackers.org if you're interested in that. Well, Jeff, that's a great story. And let's hope that all the deer we shoot this weekend and into the gun season go down quickly and don't require a long track or a dog, but there are folks with dogs available if people encounter that. Great story. We'll be back with more.
Thanks, Dave.
Right after this.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Outdoor News Radio. Rob Dreisline with you for another segment. Thanks for joining us. I hope you enjoy the broadcast. If you do, check us out online at outdoornews.com. You can subscribe to our print or digital versions there. It makes a great holiday gift. You can also give us a call at 800-535-5191 if you would like to check in with us and subscribe that way. We're going to check in now with David Schuessler. He is the Chief Event Fundraising Officer for Ducks Unlimited down in Memphis, Tennessee. David, welcome. It's good to see you. Did I get that all right?
You got it right. And Rob, I appreciate you having me on today. It's great to be with you.
Well, we've had quite a waterfowl hunting season here up north. I'm guessing some of you guys down in the Midlands and farther south maybe aren't real thrilled with how the weather has been, because I'm thinking, have there not been a lot of birds migrating through your neck of the woods just yet?
Just starting to see it. And with this system that just came through recently, and with Canada, for now, pretty much all of Canada, all of shallow water wetlands are frozen. And then with the snow that has covered the Dakotas,
right.
Migration is on for us. We're actually just opening up this weekend. But there is a lot of optimism out there. Some of our recent openings throughout the South and the Mid-South have been a little warm, but we have great weather for it right now. And we have Mother Nature pushing some birds south. So I'm thrilled to hear that y'all have had a great season. I want all of your listeners up north to have as great a season as you can have. But when it's closed, please push them out your back door so we can have them for a couple of months.
Now, we were talking off air. You've spent a number of years with Ducks Unlimited. You've been around the country. You say you really like this part of the world. You've done had some good hunts up here in Minnesota.
I do. In fact, I kind of call Minnesota my second home. And Wisconsin is close behind it. I love Minnesota, but I don't necessarily just love it in the summertime like a lot of people from the South who travel up. I love ice fishing. To me, it's a sportsman's paradise. On that whole part of the world, and I'm enamored with it, but I just love it up there.
Let's talk a little bit about Ducks Unlimited. First of all, the website ducks.org. I want to throw that out several times during our interview here today, David. Tell us about the organization, how long it's been around, some of its great accomplishments, and you know, what's the goal looking ahead to the future for DU?
Been around since 1937, a pretty simple beginning. A bunch of sportsmen were wondering what was happening to the ducks. And of course, this is well before the days of the internet and 24-hour news. They actually sent somebody to the prairies of the northern U.S. and Canada and came to find out that they were in the middle of a really, really bad drought. It was the Dust Bowl days. Yeah. And these gentlemen who were businessmen in New York City came together and said, we need to do something. And they found the Ducks Unlimited. And they started asking their friends for donations that they would send at that time to Canada to build projects to make sure that when there was ample rainfall, that there were places for ducks and geese to breed and fulfill their life cycle needs. Fast forward to 2022, that's what we still do today. We are primarily a sportsman's base organization. We are not a duck hunting organization, although our work certainly is critical to waterfowl hunters up and down each flyway. But the majority of our members are waterfowl hunters. The vast majority of our volunteers are waterfowl hunters. And we raise funds for wetlands and associated uplands all through North America to make sure that we have a sustainable population of ducks. So each year we all have the opportunity to go out and enjoy seeing them and enjoy harvesting them.
David, a serious question. You know, the drought, it's been very dry here across central Minnesota. I know it's been dry across a pretty good chunk of the duck factory, or is it better in some places? Is Ducks Unlimited, you know, watching that closely, especially as we start to look ahead into 2023?
Absolutely. We were lucky this year. For 2 years, in 20 and 21, the Canadian Wildlife Service and the United States Fish and Wildlife Service did not fly their annual migratory bird counts and pond counts,
right,
which they've been doing since the 1930s. It's the most extensive wildlife survey in the entire world. Mm-hmm. So we weren't getting these reports that you get every July of, hey, here's how many breeding ducks we think there are, and here's how many ponds. what we were hearing from our staff on the ground and what I would hear from people in that part of the world is it's dry. It's really, really dry.
Yeah.
And going into this past breeding season, the spring and summer of 2022, in February and early March, we were starting to have serious concerns about production on the prairies this year. We were very fortunate that we had some late wet snowstorms that helped the Dakotas and Manitoba and the eastern half of Saskatchewan greatly. And duck production in those areas this summer was high. And so there was optimism about what was going on. Western Saskatchewan and Alberta were still very dry. Had a good hatch, all things considered, had good reproduction, all things considered. But, Rob, since that time, it's starting to get dry again. Now, we've had some snow up there the past couple of weeks, and the ground is frozen, which is very important. So when that snow melts, there's a quick runoff into the shallow wetlands and potholes that just dock that landscape. But we do need more snow because right now, the United States is about as dry as we've been in 40 years.
Yeah.
I can't exactly speak to Canada how long ago they were this dry, but it's dry. And we all need to cross our fingers and do the snow dance all winter long to ensure that they have good snowpack in that area so we can get back to higher production of North American waterfowl.
Tell us how Ducks Unlimited got through the pandemic. How did Ducks Unlimited weather that storm? And how was I got to think the outlook's pretty good right now as we've come through the other side of that.
We are in good shape. We learned a lot. And a simple answer to how we weathered it was we pivoted. And we pivoted very, very quickly. March 20th of 2020 will be a historic day in the history of Ducks Unlimited, because that's the day that we had to pull the lever and shut down our event system, our decades-old event system that provided the organization with so much of our funding. Very quickly, we developed online auction program that we launched in April of 2020, and then much of our staff and our volunteers started figuring out way to do virtual events using YouTube, using FaceTime, and then we developed our own platform where people could buy a ticket, sign in, and we would do an event. It wasn't the same feeling as being in an event hall, but we were actually able to do live auctions with auctioneers and give people some of that normalcy that they might have experienced for years going to a DU event. It taught us that we do have the ability to raise money online and still have our in-person event fundraising business like we have traditionally done. And I'm proud to say that last year, really the year that we came out of the pandemic, our event fundraising division raised the most money that we ever have for Ducks Unlimited. And it was a marriage of bringing those traditional events back and then also holding those online and virtual events, because we discovered that there's just a group of people out there who would want to interact with us and support us over those type of channels rather than going to an event.
You've got a big event coming up here, right? Over Thanksgiving. What is it, run November 21st to December 3rd? Tell us about the Into the Vault promotion you guys have coming.
Well, it's a national online auction. It's the third annual, and it was born out of the pandemic. In the darkest days of COVID in the summer of 2020, we were trying to figure out every way possible that we could raise funds for our conservation work because, you know, our biologists could still go outside. Our engineers could still go to work on project sites because they weren't inside. So we had this need to continue to fund this conservation machine. And our CEO, Adam Putnam, and I were walking through the office one day, and we were walking through the warehouse, and he pointed to the top of some rafters, and he said, "What's in those boxes up there?" And I said, "Adam, I think that's some estate gifts that came into us a year or two ago." And he looked at me and he said, "Figure out a way to sell them." And I said, "Well, we can do that because we have this online auction platform now." And so we developed the Into the Vault auction because we do have a vault here, like a concrete lined room where we keep a lot of the organization's historical documents. But We have some artwork in there and some high-end guns in there that have been donated to the organization. And we pulled that stuff out, and we held our first one, and it was a massive, massive success. In fact, it was the largest auction that the organization had ever held in 2020. Well, I got to thinking and said, I bet there's chapters around the country that have access to these type of treasures, but just don't have a platform to sell them on. They probably know that they're not going to get the money, to use that phrase, at their local event. But what if I could offer them a platform to sell this on and then give their chapter credit for selling it? Because our chapters are like high school or college football. They all want to beat everybody else. So we got word out to our 2,400 chapters around the country, and lo and behold, we started receiving some of the neatest vintage waterfowl and hunting items that I've ever seen in my life. And so now it's a big consignment sale for all of our chapters across the country. And we also include those donations that come in from estates or for people who just want to donate stuff back to Ducks Unlimited. This year, we'll have over 600 items. 2020 at the time was the biggest auction ever. 21 actually beat 2020. And I think the mix of items that we have in the 2022 sale is going to eclipse both of those. And I'm just really excited about it.
Excellent. Well, sounds like a great event. It runs November 21st to December 3rd. If folks want more information on this, where can they find it?
Ducks.org/vault.
Well, it sounds like a great event. It's been fun getting to know you here today, David. I think we're going to have you guys on throughout the year, and it'll be fun to catch up on, you know, the status of the drought, the status of duck populations as we get into next year, and just talk some good hunting and talk some waterfowl conservation.
Sounds great, Rob. I really appreciate you letting me come on today.
That was David Schuessler from Ducks Unlimited. Again, ducks.org/vault. If you want to check out all these incredible items, they'll be auctioning off here over the early holiday season.
That was guest host Rob Dreeslein. He's publisher of Outdoor News and host of our sister show, Outdoor News Radio. You can find more on that show at outdoornews.com. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Get outside and let us be your guide. County, Wisconsin.
The fall colors are here. Plan a UTV color ride on the Blue Ox Trails. Hike, ATV, or disc golf to the top of Kai's Peak for a gorgeous vista. Or drive the 33-mile rustic road number 74 and fence through the National Forest. For an easy one-mile waterfall hike, try LaSalle Falls. For a more rugged hike, Breakwater Falls is best. For more info, stop by the Visitor Center or go to exploreflorencecounty.com.
Have more success on the ice with the LiveScope Plus Ice Fishing Bundle LI from Garmin. Drill fewer holes, catch more fish. This portable live sonar bundle comes with the LiveScope Plus system, EchoMap UHD 93SV display, and a lithium battery. All packaged in a case, making hole hopping a breeze. LiveScope Plus helps you find more fish with improved resolution, reduced noise, clearer images, and better target separation. Fill your freezer with fillets with help from Garmin. Visit Garmin.com or shop your local Garmin dealer today.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com. Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Fly your team flag.
Down he goes, another sack.
Cue up, jump around, and rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
Six more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin battles Nebraska for the Freedom Trophy in Lincoln. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Quality Foods makes Thanksgiving meal planning easy. Get your Thanksgiving dinner from Quality Foods on Baker and West Grand. Complete heat and serve whole turkey or turkey breast dinners with mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, green bean casserole, and more. Even your choice of dessert. Just reheat and serve. Voila! Thanksgiving dinner is done. While supplies last, call ahead by November 21st to order. Thanksgiving dinners and the fixins from Quality Food Baker and West Grand at Wisconsin Rapids. Get the details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Puzzles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
If you're an area employer, the next 30 seconds can be key to your growth and success. On-the-job training programs are available right now to assist with selection and cost to that new employee your business needs. Reimbursement for training costs, customized training plans to fit your needs, and continuous support when you need it. You hire, you train, we help pay. The first step is to contact us. Call the Wisconsin Rapids Job Center at 715-422-5000 and ask about on-the-job training programs for area employers. We'll help you build the workforce you need.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Deer hunting is on nearly everyone's mind this time of year, even if you're not a hunter. Well, joining us now is a guy who is no stranger to deer camp. He's been hunting deer for more than 30 years and writing about deer hunting for more than 20, even though he's still a fairly young man. He's written plenty of articles for outdoor news publications and Deer Hunting Magazine, among others. And so far, 3 books, if I'm counting correctly, but I expect he'll be writing more of both. He leads a bit of an adventuresome life, and I think some would say reckless, I don't know. Joe Shedd joins me now from the North Shore of Lake Superior, and his website is GoSheddHunting.com. Well, Joe, welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Oh, it's always great to be on the show, Dan. I appreciate it.
Well, you bet. Now, I said adventure-filled life and maybe reckless. I may have been overstating it a little bit, but your latest book, Bucktails, Stories from the Deer Stand, it's a great book. It has a couple of stories where you, and sometimes with your buddies, you get into some tough situations, but you always seem to pull through, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it's pretty self-inflicted. I'm pretty accident-prone, but I don't think that makes a better story.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, some listeners may have read a few of these stories in Deer and Deer Hunting or Outdoor News, but others are fresh to readers. I don't know if you saved some for the book.
Well, just kind of going through my memory of all my deer hunts over the years, and some I'd written about. Some I just didn't have an angle that I thought would make a good story for a magazine, but I thought they would fit nicely into the book, and so I wanted to include them.
They certainly do fit nicely into the book. How have you organized this book for listeners who haven't seen it yet?
But I've got it into 4 parts. The beginning part is deer hunts. It's just kind of classic deer hunting stories, kind of how they happened. The second chapter or section is camaraderie, where kind of the people that were along on the hunt kind of make the story, you know, and the deer kind of, you know, are a secondary background feature. The third part, I can't think of it right offhand.
You call it reflections.
Reflections, there we go. And that's kind of where I'm kind of, you know, stepping back and just not necessarily telling a story, but kind of being a little bit reflective on the hunt and maybe a little bit introspective on why we hunt or why I hunt. And then the fourth section is I threw in a moose hunt. I kind of threw it out on Facebook asking people if a moose hunt would fit into a book about deer hunting. And, well, the moose hunt story is pretty good, so people said to go for it, so I threw it in there.
I think it was a good decision. It really puts deer hunting into a different light or a different perspective, because most of us, if we're still able-bodied, or even if we have, you know, I know folks who have that action track chair wheelchair, and they can drag a deer out of the woods with their chair, probably easier than you or I could, just putting it on a sled or dragging it. We hope there's snow when that happens. But it's a different ballgame when you have a moose down, isn't it?
Yeah, they say the work begins when the moose is on the ground. And wow, it's an industrial-sized level compared to getting a deer out of the woods.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's go back to the first section of the book, Deer Hunts. Is there a most memorable hunt that you wrote about or that you'd like to talk about briefly?
I began the book with my first buck because I think that was a natural starting point. And the first hunt was pretty memorable. It was pretty wild. It involved my 9-year-old brother driving a pickup truck down farm roads as we watched this deer running across a picked hay field, you know, middle of the day on a bluebird day. So kind of unorthodox having a 9-year-old boy driving a truck, but it was deer season, and that's kind of how it worked out.
Yeah, and in those days, a 9-year-old couldn't carry a gun, but today he could if he were 9.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, we all do some things, most of us, I should say, do some things that might be considered a little unorthodox come deer season, although we all want to stay within the law, and that's important, and we want to stay safe, of course. Your second section on camaraderie, you've got some great stories there. Your buddy Opie seems to be about as accident-prone as you.
Yeah, we always ask ourselves how we are this dumb, but we managed to live this long.
Yeah, tell us about Opie and what's it like to hunt with him.
Well, Opie's a pretty decent hunter, actually. He's been out hunting me. We hunt in northern Wisconsin, and he likes to stay put, and I like to get up and get around, and I'll still hunt, or I'll trap, or I'll try all these things. But he's been out hunting me the last 2 years, so I'm starting to realize that maybe I just need to stay put in my stand.
Yeah, but you guys got into a couple of I won't say predicaments, but situations that needed some thought to get out of, didn't you?
We've done a lot of, between, deer hunting and doing, we look for moose sheds, and we get this pretty big country doing that. And he likes to hunt in really hilly terrain, so we've had to be kind of resourceful to figure out how to drag his bucks out. One incident we had where we tied his deer around a tree, and he dragged up, and I used the tree like a fulcrum, and I'm going down and passing him as he's coming up at me, and we're using the tree as a fulcrum to pull the deer up the hill. And it was a pretty big buck, too. So
yeah.
It was no easy work.
I know what you're talking about, and I think a lot of hunters do. Now, Amanda, your friend, got into deer hunting, and you wrote about her first buck. And what was special about that hunt?
There are getting to be a lot more women in the outdoors, and she didn't really grow up. Her dad and brother did deer hunt, and they were never really too serious about it. And she kind of, had asked about it when we started dating. And what she didn't realize is that there's this mentored hunter program that you can go hunting with a mentor without taking hunter safety course to get a taste of it. And so she ended up going hunting. She didn't get anything the first year. We did see a couple does. And then the second year, we got permission to hunt on a friend's farm, and the deer were coming out to this farm field pretty reliably in the evenings. And she could only hunt for 3 days, and third day we saw some deer, and well, the third day magically turned into four, and then five, and then six, and seven, and finally on the eighth night she finally shot a buck.
Yeah, and she had mixed emotions after she had shot that deer, which a lot of hunters can understand.
I think we were both really excited. It dropped in its tracks, which made the tracking job easy. And we walked up on the deer, and it was probably a two-year-old seven-point buck. And she walked up on it. She said, "Is it a spike?" And I'm like, "No, it's got points." She was really excited, and we walked up to it, and then she put her hand on the deer, like I think most of us do. And this is something she hadn't seen before. She's done a lot of fishing with me. She always makes me clean the fish. But, this is something a little different. When she walked up to it, and obviously she felt a little bit sad for taking this life. And that was a new experience for her. But, it's a whole ball of emotions that we all feel. And it was fun to see it through a rookie's eyes, So I really enjoyed that. I don't have my own kids, so it was fun to see somebody new experience something like that.
For sure. And I think any one of us who have taken a female friend or relative hunting has had that experience. I took my wife deer hunting. She wanted to see if she could do it, and she was already like 60 years old or so. I don't remember exactly when this was. And she shot her first deer, and I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah, I can't believe I just did that." And she hasn't shot another one. She just wanted to make sure that if she had to, she could do it, and she managed to do that. Your last section, reflections, and a lot of these stories are reflections or thought pieces, as some people call them. The one story that stood out to me was Dad's gun. Why don't you tell us about that one?
That's actually one of the very first freelance stories I ever wrote. I wrote that when I was 21, 22 years old, something like that.
Uh-huh.
What's kind of neat about it is I was trying to think of how to illustrate this story, and I was going to just take a picture of the gun laying on a black and red plaid jacket. But
yep.
Then I remembered that we had this photo from 1984 of me and my brother and my dad, and he's got the gun resting in the deer's antlers, and it was a little basket seven-pointer. The story is about, my dad's been hunting with his guns. I think he bought it brand new back in the 70s. It's a really fancy, nice gun, which is not my style. My duck shotgun has almost no varnish left on the stock. I beat the crap out of that.
Yeah.
So my dad had hunted with his gun for about 15, maybe 20 years, and then back in 1993, my younger brother James was getting into hunting, and I'd been hunting with a youth model shotgun, and so his first deer season, so he was going to use that, so I needed a gun. So we went to look at this brand new rifle that we found in a newspaper ad back in the old days, and
yeah.
It was a semi-auto 270, and my dad's old gun was a 270 pump, so we bought it. We brought it home that night, and he said, "Well, which one do you want?" And I said I wanted his old gun. And I was 15 years old at the time, and I think he was pretty surprised by that. Like, why would a teenager want this, crappy old gun? Not that it's a crappy gun. It's a beautiful gun, rather than a brand new one.
Yeah.
And I wanted his old gun. So that was 1993, and here we are, 30 years later, and I've carried that gun every year since, and probably always will.
Yeah. Well, that was a rather mature decision for a teenager to make.
Yeah, you know, especially, you know, and, you know, how many guys have dad's old gun, you know, after he passes on. I got the gun while he was still hunting. He doesn't deer hunt anymore, but he, up until the time that he quit deer hunting, he was still carrying that, the other gun that we bought that day.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. My son is shooting my 270 now because we needed two rifles, and I've got my wife's 243, which she isn't using. And I like the lighter recoil, and I haven't officially gifted the gun to him yet, but as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure as far as he's concerned, it's his, and he'll probably keep shooting it. I know what you mean. So, well, Joe, we got to let you go here. This has been wonderful, but people who might want to buy your book, where do they get it? On your website? Is that the best place?
Yeah, you can get it on my website, GhostShedHunting.com.
All right. Well, Joe, we will catch up with you again, I'm sure.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
You bet. Joe Shedd from northern Minnesota, Wisconsin native, by the way, and his website, GoShedHunting.com, is where you can read his adventures, buy his books, and his videos as well. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
You wait quietly, but you're getting impatient. It's been 2 hours and still nothing. You hear it. It's close. You see movement, but you sit tight because safe hunting is no accident. With all different hunting seasons open, your fellow hunters could be in a stand, on the ground, or in a blind. Do not shoot at movement. Be aware of what's in front of your target and what is beyond it. Wisconsin DNR. Adventures and memories. Enjoy Wisconsin's wild side.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Have more success on the ice with the LiveScope Plus Ice Fishing Bundle LI from Garmin. Drill fewer holes, catch more fish. This portable live sonar bundle comes with the LiveScope Plus system, EchoMap UHD 93SV display, and a lithium battery, all packaged in a case making hole hopping a breeze. LiveScope Plus helps you find more fish with improved resolution, reduced noise, clearer images, and better target separation. Fill your freezer with fillets with help from Garmin. Visit Garmin.com or shop your local Garmin dealer today.
Get outside and let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
The fall colors are here. Plan a UTV color ride on the Blue Ox Trails. Hike ATV or disc golf to the top of Kai's Peak for a gorgeous vista. Or drive the 33-mile rustic road number 74 and fence through the National Forest. For an easy 1-mile waterfall hike, try LaSalle Falls. For a more rugged hike, Breakwater Falls is best. For more info, stop by the Visitor Center or go to exploreflorencecounty.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. Winterizing supplies are in stock, or they can winterize the boat for you. Check out their website and Facebook page for details. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford, huntworthgear.com. And by Ducks Unlimited, the world's leader in wetlands conservation, a proud sponsor of Outdoors Radio and duck hunters everywhere, ducks.org.
And our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin may not be airing in your area now, but you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And our Deer Hunt Wisconsin show is archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, type in Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV, put in my name, that might help, and it'll show up. There's a lot of amateur deer shows on YouTube as well. Guys who shoot big deer and get videos of it and post them online, but our show is there as well. So just keep searching, you'll find it. Well, I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. Jeff and I will report on our opening weekend of deer hunting next week. So we hope you all have a safe and successful opening weekend. Be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports.